Well, good evening, everyone, and a really warm welcome to all of you here. It's so lovely to see a packed church for our evening service. We're normally getting about half of these numbers. It's more normally a select few, but we've got quality and quantity tonight, which is great. My name's Dave Bruce. I'm the rector here, and want to really extend a warm welcome, particularly to visitors who are here supporting Lucy and who visitors who might be here just turning up, and you've turned up on a really good night for a special service today. Before we get going with the service, we've got a couple of in-house notices which we're going to get out of the way first of all. Liz is going to come and give us a notice about, well, I'll let her explain.
Sorry, I know I'm not the main event, but the reason I'm standing here today is tomorrow is the 1st of November, and what we are going to do this year, if you want to be involved, is something called a reverse Advent calendar, where each day for the month of November, we're asking those who want to be involved to think about what they might want to put inside a bag that can be collected from the back of the church, either as individuals or possibly as a life group or just a group of friends, and each day to put an item in that might bless somebody else. So I've got some ideas here. It might be a packet of diced biscuits. It might be some wax crayons. It might be a toy or anything else. But when you're out buying, doing your normal supermarket shop and thinking ahead to Christmas, think about those people who won't be able to afford to have those things this Christmas. And those of us who have plenty, I'm not asking for those of us who don't, but those of us who do, just think, actually, I could buy two chocolate oranges rather than just one. And put it in, and that may really bless a family or an individual this Christmas. And then at the very end of the month, we're asking you to bring your full bags, and then we will give them out early December to those families and those individuals in need. So thank you.
Great, thank you, Liz. It's reverse in many ways. Reverse because we're starting in the beginning of November, as well as reverse because we're putting stuff in. Also, just to say, there is a men's breakfast, our usual men's breakfast, monthly men's breakfast at Wetherspoons on Saturday at 8:30 in the morning. This Saturday, we've got a guest speaker as well, who's a friend of mine, who's coming to speak on midlife crisis or calling. You don't have to be in a midlife crisis to come along, men. And some of you may have been through your midlife crisis, and others may have to them still to come. But he's going to share some of his story with us. There, so that's Saturday 8:30. Today is a day where many around us are celebrating darkness and evil and death. Tonight we are going to celebrate life and light. And I think it's just an amazing evening actually to just push back the darkness by having a baptism. And we're really looking forward to having Lucy's baptism and hearing her story later on. If you are a visitor here and aren't normally perhaps a churchgoer, I just really encourage you, just be yourself tonight. No, there's no expectation on you at all. Just join in with whatever you want to join in with. Be open to whatever might happen tonight, but no one's going to put you in any difficult situation. So please relax and just be yourselves. Even if that means laughing at me, that's fine. But let's begin with some words of scripture as we remember the light pushing back the darkness. I'm going to read some verses from John chapter 1, which we often read at Christmas, which talk of Jesus, the Word coming. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Lord, we thank you that you shine light into the darkness, and that actually nothing is too dark. Nothing is beyond your light getting in and bringing new life. And as we come and meet together tonight, as we come and share testimony, as we come and welcome officially a new believer into your church, may you reveal your light to each and every one of us. May we know your life and your light tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to worship God together. So let's stand and join in, if you like, with these couple of songs as we begin.
Goodness of God, you've been good, Lord.
Here in our midst. Thank you that you know each and every one of us. You know just how we are as we come here today. You know every hair on our heads. You love us dearly. And you call us your children. We thank you and we worship you. And we just ask that you would do what you want to do tonight in each and every one of us. That we would meet with you deeply tonight, we pray. Amen. Do take a seat, everyone, and Lucy's going to come and join me. We're going to be baptising Lucy a little bit later. I'm glad to say that the water is much hotter than the baptism that we did at 3:30 when we thought the heater had broken. It's nearly jacuzzi temperature, but we're just leaving it a little bit longer. And the longer you speak, Lucy, the hotter it's going to get. So Lucy's going to share a little bit of her story of just the last few months and years and just what God's been doing. And I just pray that this will really encourage you and bless you. And challenge us too, as to just what God wants to do with each and every one of us. So over to Lucy. Let's pray first. Father, would you just speak through Lucy to us now? We thank you for the power of testimony of what you have done in lives. And I thank you for what you have done in Lucy's life and how you have met her. And I pray now that you'd fill her with your spirit to speak powerfully to each one of us, to bring you glory for what you've done in her life. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. So, good evening, everybody. Hi. Thank you for coming and being part of this special evening. So I feel really honoured to share my testimony with you tonight. And I did just check the word testimony in the dictionary to see the definition of what it means. And actually, another word is witness or the proof, a personal account. And in this case, it's a personal account of how God has been at work in my life and how that has changed who I am. So I thought I'd share a verse with you, and it's Psalm 40. And I just feel that this really sums up what God has done for me in the last year. So yeah, Psalm 40 if you've got a Bible. And So I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. So, I'll start with a little bit of background. So, as a child, I actually grew up in a Christian family and regularly went to church. And that was all I knew. So, I loved going along to wave a flag at the back of the service to the worship songs, and I'd help the older ladies put the lyrics on the overhead projector before we had laptops and things. And there was a moment actually when I had a bad skin condition on my legs that the doctor was unable to treat, and I had members of the congregation laid hands on me and prayed for me to be healed. And I experienced the healing. The spots that I had completely disappeared. So that was back when I was maybe 9 or 10. And as I was growing up, I would take a friend along to church with me. So Mum would say, "Would you like to bring a friend?" And I brought one friend who just didn't want to join in. And then there was another girl at school who began to make fun of me for coming from a Christian family. And she actually turned all my close friends against me. So one day, all of my friends just stopped talking to me, and I was devastated. So I had to make a whole new set of friends, and it was really tough. So I was starting to approach my teenage years, and being afraid of rejection, I began to turn away from the church, from Jesus, and from my family. Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." My teenage years were very much centered around friends and having a good time. All the while, the gap between me and my family widened, and my loneliness at home intensified. When I went off to university, it was all about partying and socialising, but underneath that, there was a sense of unworthiness and emptiness, and I often felt insecure. I'd be plagued by negative thoughts and things about myself that weren't true, so I would go out drinking and partying as much as possible to numb the pain. After that, I went off backpacking to Southeast Asia, and I was amazed by the beauty of the natural world in India and Nepal, but I was shocked by the levels of poverty, and I found myself going from beach bars in Goa to hanging out in ashrams and learning meditation, and it was there that I felt that I'd found something worthwhile. And when I came back to the UK, I hung on to that. Back in the UK, I moved into a commune in London connected to an Indian ashram where I felt I had found meaning, but it turned out to be fraught with instability and misguided beliefs. In fact, someone who lived there took their own life. The bad times began to outweigh the good, and I could not find peace there or anywhere. I needed to get away, but I was running out of options. I was still avoiding going back home to my family, believing the lies that I wouldn't be welcome there and that I wasn't loved. I moved into a friend's shared rental property, but after some time, I had to move out because they were selling up. Technically, I had nowhere to live during this time, but I stayed in London, sofa surfing and trying to make ends meet. Going out more, but before long, I found myself in a desperate situation, unable to find somewhere suitable to live and running out of money. Now, it was at this point that I realised that something was up, that I couldn't carry on like this. I just thought I could not keep going downhill. I was going further and further downhill, and I had no choice but to actually call my parents to pick me up. So I bit the bullet, and amazingly that day, they happened to be just half an hour away in Kent whilst I was in South London. So they came and rescued me, and I was so ashamed. I cried in the back of the car the whole way home, feeling like a total failure, not knowing what was next. What I didn't realise at the time is that I was actually, as I was beginning to let go and reach out, the Father God himself was running towards me with open arms. The next months with my parents were, after some difficult years, really healing as we spent time together again. And they told me I could move to Malvern with them as they were taking an early retirement here. And I just thought, this is a fresh start, you know. So I moved with them and it was great. Nights were peaceful and quiet, no longer the sounds of sirens. I could see the stars and hear the hoots of owls. I spent days walking the hills, being close to family, and I began to turn over a new leaf. I got a job, started a new course, and began to go to church. And that's where I met members of this community, and I took part in the Happiness Lab and felt very warmly welcomed by people here. People prayed with me, I went forward for prayer, but the lure of the old ways reared its old head, and once more I stopped going to church. I moved out, got into a relationship, set up a business teaching yoga, and then things actually began to feel like an uphill struggle. But after my grandfather's death, the following year, I became deeply unsettled and tormented by the prospect of my own death and mortality, and so began a deep existential search. This is when my dad shared the gospel with me. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. We were in the car when he talked about the spiritual death that awaits those who reject Christ. As he was talking, his face seemed to change, and I was powerfully moved. He said he felt that God was speaking through him to me. I decided that I didn't want to experience that second death, and what I wanted, even though it seemed really far out, was an eternity with God. I decided to believe in Jesus. I didn't know if I really did believe, but I thought it'd be better to believe than not to believe, considering what I just heard. So I tried to believe. John 6:47. Truly, truly, I tell you, he who believes has eternal life. That same day, I said a prayer to accept Jesus. Me and my dad pulled up in the car next to the station in Colwall, and I read the prayer that he'd obviously prepared in the glove compartment about inviting Jesus into my heart. He must have been amazed at what was happening, as I know they have been praying for me for many, many years. I think 18 in total. Although nothing appeared to happen, I had a very difficult year that followed. The relationship I was in broke down, and I found myself desperately fighting depression and despair. I just couldn't do this life anymore, I thought. Everything felt so unmanageable. I was desperately unhappy. I just couldn't find anything to sort of take away this pain. I was walking through the valley of death, and there seemed to be no one I could call on, nothing to take away how I was feeling. One night, I had a horrific nightmare and awoke to a spiritual darkness pinning me to my bed. The force was so strong I couldn't move or breathe. I felt I was being choked, and I was absolutely terrified. The following days were a blur of confusion, and I really felt unstable and unable to cope with what was happening. Just when I thought I couldn't carry on, I went to sleep with a vision of walking into the hills in freedom. The next day, I went into town, and I just happened to meet two young men from the Regent's Theology College, who just happened to be standing casually outside Lyttleton Well, and I hadn't noticed them at first. Then I wondered what they might offer me, as they just looked like two average guys. But one of them started to tell me about Jesus, and how Jesus had turned his life around from a life of hedonism and struggle, and the other one offered to pray for me right there and then. I couldn't believe the timing, because they had no idea what was going on for me. I was compelled to talk to them, and I was glued to the spot for about an hour and a half on a cold, wet and windy afternoon around this time last year. The world was a blur around us, and it felt like time just stood still. I felt real love from them, and I couldn't understand it because I didn't know them, but later I began to realise it was God's love for me that I was experiencing. Later when I got home, I felt filled with hope. The darkness and fear had begun to lift. One of them emailed me to say, God has given him a message for me saying, let's do this together. I was filled with excitement. I met with them again to read some of the Bible, and around that time I met another Christian friend who prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit. That very afternoon, I walked up into the hills, and I put some music on my headphones, some worship music, and suddenly I was flooded with the love of Jesus. I just knew, and I became completely, entirely undone in my heart and in my spirit, and I just felt so broken. I saw no other option than to surrender to it all. It was there on the side of the hills, as the sun was setting, that I made a personal commitment to Jesus. As I did this, something truly incredible followed. The scales fell from my eyes, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everything around me came into full color. I couldn't believe how beautiful the world was. The warm sun began to drop below the horizon, and a great flurry of birds flew overhead. It was like waking up from a deep sleep. I was utterly amazed and dumbfounded, filled with energy after feeling so weak and tired. John 3:3. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. In the following days, with the help of some of my friends, I repented to God and said sorry for turning my back on him. And that evening, when I was praying by myself, I experienced something like a tidal wave gently flowing through my body, cleansing my past and wiping the slate clean. For the following weeks, I was full of absolute joy and an indescribable sense of God's presence. My heart and soul were continually in song. The Bible opened up to me, and every word I read was like God speaking directly to me, like a personal love letter that was alive and active, speaking to my soul. I began to understand what had happened to me. I had been saved and been born again because I put my trust in Jesus. He took my pain away and gave me the oil of joy for mourning and beauty for ashes. He gave me a heart of flesh and a crown of life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Since my conversion, I have been freed of so much. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. Insecure thoughts, doubts and fears, gone. Trauma, fear of death, fear of other people, it's been cast out by the love of God. And I now know that I live with this genuine confidence, rooted in faith, that I didn't have before. He is my anchor, and I have an unshakable foundation for my life, which comes from knowing and experiencing God's love in my life, knowing that he is with me and he is for me every step of the way, forever. He is my rock and saviour. Jesus said, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 4:14. We all want to find ways to satisfy our own souls, but only Jesus can truly satisfy and quench our spiritual thirst. Only he can deliver us from our fears and the pain of separation from God. Since I said yes to Jesus, I no longer thirst. I had no idea that this is what would happen, but it has, and I can't deny it. I think I was always looking for him, and the best part is he came after me too. So I'm here tonight to claim my new life in Christ and to stand as a witness to his wonder-working power to transform lives and build his kingdom amongst us. I still cannot fully grasp the magnitude of this gift of salvation, but all I know is that it's real. His love has overcome and brought freedom to my life, and I'm by no means perfect, nor is his work complete, but I'm so thankful, humbled and in awe by what has been freely given and what this means in my life and for all eternity. Thank you.
Why don't we respond in prayer? Lord, all this is to bring you glory, because you have transformed a life. You brought light in the darkness. You brought life where there was death. You brought freedom where there was fear. And we thank you and we praise you. And we thank you that you love those who are far off and that you search them out and that you never let them go. And that you're always there with open arms to welcome us back, to wipe the slate clean, to restore and bring the joy of gladness. So we thank you. We thank you for Lucy's story. We bless her. We pray your protection on her as she shared that with us. And we pray that she may go and tell her story many, many more times. And that actually people will be drawn to you because of her story and what you've done in her life. So we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we're going to follow that with just hearing some scripture. The four who are coming to read would like to come up now. We're going to hear three stories, three parables that Jesus told to do with lost things. Because Lucy's story in so many ways is a story of being lost and then being found. And some of these stories will be very familiar to many of us, but they may be new to others. And so these stories are stories that Jesus told to tell us what God's like. We'll particularly hear the story of the lost son at the end, which is a story where, you know, God is saying, I'm like the father and I'm welcoming the son home. So as you hear these stories, just allow God to speak to you. Allow him to meet you. Allow him to just reveal truth to you, just as he has done to Lucy.
The parable of the lost sheep. If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish.
The parable of the lost coin. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
This is the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he'd spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave him unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry.
Just would love to invite you to close your eyes just for a moment and just picture that scene of that lost son returning along that road, having just wasted his father's inheritance, having just basically left him for dead, having completely messed up. And he came back broken. He came back wondering how his father was going to receive him. He came back anxious that actually his father was going to reject him. And yet actually when he neared the house, he saw his father running to him. That picture of God running to him with arms open wide, saying, Welcome home, my precious child. You know, that's the picture of how God sees us when we return to him. And in those different stories, we heard of rejoicing. And you know, today is a time for rejoicing. In heaven, heaven is rejoicing because of Lucy's story, because of us returning. Heaven rejoices when we return to God. But those loving arms, that's who God is, welcoming us back, longing for us to return. But just as we come into the baptism now, let's keep that picture of that is the God who we are here to just celebrate and worship. So Lucy's going to come now, and we're going to do you can change in the next one, in the next song. It's all right, no, stay here. Stay here, you're fine. She's concerned about getting her nice clothes wet. So what we're going to do, first of all, if we can have the first slide, Andrew, is we're going to just have that chance for Lucy to declare to us. You know, many ways she has already, but just her desire. So, Lucy, do you wish to be baptised?
I do.
And are you ready with your own mouth and from your own heart to affirm your faith in Jesus Christ? And here's a question for all of us. You know, all of us are part of Lucy's journey, and that's what family means. Part of baptism is coming and joining God's family. So will we help Lucy to become part of God's family?
Amen.
And will we promise to support Lucy in her journey of faith?
Amen.
We will. Great. And so we come to the decision, and you know, I love this bit. It says, we all wander from God's and lose our way. Wonder how many of us can connect with that. Certainly part of Lucy's story. We wander from God and lose our way. But Christ comes to find us and welcomes us home. So in baptism, we respond to his call. And this is where this bit is called the decision, where, if you like, it's a bit like the story of the prodigal son in the pigsty. You know, he had a decision to make. Was he going to go back to his father, or was he going to stay in his old life? And this is Lucy's chance to say these things of, what are you turning away from? The man, in the son in the prodigal son story, he did a 180 degree turn and came back to his father and said, I'm not living that way anymore, but I'm going to come back and live my father's way, to live God's way. So, Lucy, do you turn away from sin?
I turn away from sin.
Do you reject evil?
I reject evil.
Do you turn to Christ as Saviour?
I turn to Christ.
And do you trust him as Lord?
I trust him as Lord.
So what we're going to do now is the first of three symbols tonight. We're going to sign you with the sign of the cross. And that cross is just that symbol right at the heart of the Christian faith, you know, on the cross where Jesus died for us so that actually he could take all the sin, all the mess of our lives, all the mistakes on him, so that actually we didn't have to carry them any longer. Like when Lucy shared in her testimony of how, you know, all of that stuff was washed clean, that's because Jesus took it on the cross. That we don't need to carry on holding that shame and that guilt and that sin and that evil from the past any longer. But Jesus takes it and gives us forgiveness in return. So we're going to sign you, Lucy, with a sign of the cross just to show that you are Christ's special child. Christ claims you for his own. Receive the sign of his cross. Do not be ashamed of Christ. You are his forever, everybody. Stand bravely with him against all the powers of evil and remain faithful to Christ to the end of your life. And may Almighty God deliver you from the powers of darkness and lead you in the light and obedience of Christ. Amen. This is where we let you go and get changed. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to declare the faith that we're baptising her into. Evidently, David Beckham once was asking about getting his kids baptised. And he asked what faith was he baptising the kids into, and he didn't really know. So we're going to make it really clear what we are baptising Lucy into and what we are believing by singing a song which is called I Believe, which just speaks of what it is that we believe as Christians. Let's stand.
believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Great, do sit down. Just those who are coming up, do come up to support Lucy. And first of all, we're going to just say a prayer over the water. You know, just the thanking God for this gift of water. And this water is the second symbol of baptism. And it really is nice and warm now. So the cross was the first symbol. And this water signifies washing clean. You know, we talked about actually Jesus coming and forgiving us and washing us clean from all the past, that we don't have to carry it around any longer. And that's the symbol here of washing us clean, of forgiveness. And also when Lucy goes down underneath the water, it's a sign of dying to the old life and coming up and rising a new creation, as Lucy was sharing with us, in Jesus. So we praise you, loving Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus. He was baptized in the River Jordan, where your Spirit came upon him and revealed him as the Son you love. He sent his followers to baptize all who turned to him. Now, Father, we ask you to bless this water, that those who are baptized in it may be cleansed in the water of life and filled afresh with your Spirit. May they know that they're loved as your children, safe in Christ forever. Amen. And before we baptise Lucy, we're just going to invite any of you three particularly just to come and share from the microphone just a word or a prayer. Simon's going first.
Can I just say that as a father, I was so moved by your words, Lucy. And, you know, I just think your father's such a pre-planner, the glove compartment thing. Ben, that's just tremendous. But I was very honoured to be asked to say a few words. And my special prayer for you today, Lucy, is that you'll continue to be a great witness. Lucy was kind enough to come and tell her story to one of our younger groups, the Pathfinders groups. It's really been told now, but it was about, she talked about coming from a Christian family and choosing a different path and then coming back to the Lord. The highly mature and articulate telling of the story encouraged one of our groups when she asked if anybody wanted to make a commitment. And one of the young men in our group made a commitment to the Lord that day. And that was just tremendous. It was just tremendous. So thank you so much. And I know it's been said before, but continue to do that. Bless you.
Well, I'm also very privileged to stand here today to pray with you and for you, Lucy. We've known each other a little while. And as I was praying for you, these verses came from Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3a. But now, this is what the Lord, your Creator, says, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And we thank you for the promises, these promises to Lucy, Lord, for all that she is to you and to us. We pray your blessing on her, and we especially thank you for her beautiful voice that is such a blessing to us all. And with these giftings, we pray the protection of the blood of over you to keep you safe and secure. And we say to you, Lucy, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's Ephesians 6:10. Trust confidently on the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your paths straight and smooth. And that's Proverbs 3:5-6. So we bless you in the name of Jesus, that God may reveal to you everything you need to know to enable you to fully know who you were made to be, and that you receive everything you need to know so that the fullness of life may be released to you. So we thank you for these promises for Lucy, Lord. And I finish with part of a prayer by the 13th century St. Richard of Chichester. May you see Christ more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly. Amen.
I didn't know I was doing this, but I meet to have the privilege of meeting with Lucy pretty regularly, and we talk and pray and that sort of thing. And I was just thinking, actually, what would my response be? I think God has made you an expansive person. You have an expansive experience of life, and you have great huge highs and sometimes some lows. And I just wonder if God wants to really encourage you that he is an expansive God, and the whole gamut of who you are is held in God. Mm. And that is not a wrong thing. That is a great thing. But the verse you read earlier on, but he set your feet upon a rock. And I think that is the wonder of God. This is my husband, and he would share, I also am someone who has great highs and great lows. And I think the joy of knowing a God who can hold that as good, but also can anchor you deeply, that your feet is set on a rock, you know, that you are absolutely on solid ground forever, what your experience of life is, the ups and downs of faith that will come and go. But he has got you solid, on solid ground. He will never be shaken. He's your anchor and your rock. So, Lord Jesus, we thank so thankful for Lucy. This expansive, wonderful person that you have created, who has such a full experience of life. And we long to see that fullness used in great ways of expressing who you are and who your created world is to others. Lord, whether that's in song or poetry or whatever it's going to be, Lord, we pray that you'd release that in her. And we pray at the same time that real solidity that comes from knowing you, God, our rock and our redeemer, our anchor, our solid ground. We pray that for Lucy, that expansion will be held in a solid, solidness of who you are, Jesus. So thank you, God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is solid ground. So bless her now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So, Lucy, on profession of your faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing again in a minute, but in the schedule I'd got a talk down here, but I never got to write my talk, and I knew Lucy would do the talk for me. And I think we got a preacher on our hands too. But what I want to just invite us to now is just to allow God to meet us where God wants to meet us tonight. And I just, in preparing my talk, felt God was just drawing me back to those words we said earlier where it says we all wander from God and lose our way. And I just felt God wanting to say to some people tonight that some people here tonight have wandered from God. Or some people maybe have never known God and actually think they're far off. But God wants to invite you back tonight. And I think for some of us, you know, actually this, the pandemic has perhaps caused us to wander off from God. We know that actually we're not as focused on God as we were 18 months ago. Perhaps we've got distracted. We've got out of the habit of coming to church, and actually God's calling us back and saying, come back home. Come back and make me the priority again. Now, if that's you, I just really invite you to respond to God tonight. Let Lucy's story inspire you. But also just aware there may be people here who don't know God at all. You know, Lucy, what Lucy says, you're sort of trying to make sense of it now. Maybe even you feel like the prodigal son in the story who's out in the pigsty where life has just fallen apart just as it had done for Lucy. And even now, I just sense God's calling you and saying, come home. Come and meet the God who knows you, who Lucy has met, who's transformed Lucy's life, because he wants to know you. He wants to be known by you. And it might even be tonight, right now, that actually you make that first step of coming back to him. And all you need to do is what the prodigal son did in the story and say, I'm sorry, God, that I've gone my own way. I'm sorry that I've just been heading off living life for myself, but I want to now come back and turn around and to live life with you. And thank you that you know me and that you welcome me back with open arms. You know, that's a start. The rest you can learn. But maybe for some people tonight, this is your first step to finding truth and God and freedom. So we're going to sing a couple more songs just to finish off. And I want to just give people the chance. Sometimes, you know, it's helpful to actually take a step forwards physically. I did it when I was 9 years old. I went to the front of my church then and said, I want to be a follower of Jesus. And it's a hard step, but actually sometimes it's the right thing to do because you're making you say, this is what I want, I'm doing this, and letting others know, and letting me know, and letting God know. And if you want to do that step, I'd love to just invite you to come down to the front. Someone would pray for you. If you want to just acknowledge to God that, you know, you've wandered from him, maybe you've been really committed in the past, but you've wandered from him and want to come back tonight, then I'd love to invite you to step forward too and just have someone to come and pray, gently pray with you. Or go to the back where the cross is, you know, and just do some business on your own with God there. But that's an offer. That's an invitation tonight. That was what Lucy did to start off this miraculous change in her journey. And that invitation is there to anybody tonight. So we're going to sing a song now which talks about reckless love, which actually is a song which talks about that parable of the lost sheep, where God leaves the 99 to go and find the one who was lost, the one who is in trouble, with his reckless love. Just allow this song to meet with you. If you want to respond to God tonight, I invite you to respond, or even just turn to someone around you and ask them to pray for you, however is right for you. But don't miss this moment, because I think God wants to be at work and wants to do some ministry and change some lives amongst us tonight. So I'm going to pray and then we'll sing. Lord, we go back to where we started with that song of this is my desire to follow you, and we're offering all of our lives to you. And Lord, where we have perhaps wandered off from you and lost our way, just draw us back tonight. Meet us where we are with those open arms and welcome us home. Just give us the courage to come back to you, to take that step, to come towards you and meet us with your joy and your peace and your love. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I could not it.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, breathless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I could not it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah. Oh, my love is reckless. Thank you, love, reckless. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I could not it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away.
Up and we're going to do the final symbol and then we'll finish with the last song to go out to. And the final symbol finishes where we started with, really, with lights. And so, Lucy, here's a candle. You can hear the matches. And we're going to light this candle for you just to remind you that Jesus is your light. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus goes before you to be your light in this world. And also a candle to remind you that you are called to be a light, to bring light into the darkness wherever you will go in the future. But to know that when you carry God's light, that actually the light always banishes the darkness. And the darkness can never be so dark that the light of Christ cannot get there. So God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and has given us a place with the saints in light. You have received the light of Christ. Walk in this light all the days of your life. Shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. And so we say in a moment, because there's one or two things to say first. Firstly, if you want to just find out more about this story of God that we've been talking about tonight, particularly about this story of the lost prodigal son and the lost things that we've been talking about, then I've got a little booklet here, which is called The Big Welcome, that I would love to give to you on the way out. You'll find some on the table at the back here and the table in the foyer here. Just come and grab one off me, and I would love to give that as a gift for you to just read and find out more, or just chat more to me or to Lucy or to Peter or anyone who looks like they might know what they're talking about. And secondly, after this, there are going to be refreshments served at the back of church. So do stay around for refreshments and just chat and meet each other and greet each other. So now I'm going to say this, and then we're going to sing a final song, and we can go as we sing the final song. So go in the light and peace of Christ. Thanks be to God. Thank you for coming.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you restore, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you all.
Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.